Later this month, at the end of this month, the Indianapolis Black Documentary Film Festival will get underway. Yeah, I guess in keeping with the theme of the African-American condition, these documentaries that are showcased and recognized do just that. They don't necessarily always have to be by African-Americans, but they are about the African-American diaspora, if you will, United States of America. So filmmakers from literally all over the world that have their works showcased at this festival that is gaining in popularity, it's gaining in prestige, and each year they set aside one person to give special honors to, and this year those honors are going to be going to our very own Gerald Harkness. Gerald, how are you?
It's great to be connected to you.
Great to be connected with you. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, I gotta say, you know, you don't get into something as difficult as filmmaking just for the awards and glory, but it's nice to be recognized once in a while. But it's a double honor because, as you were talking about, the Indianapolis Black Documentary Film Festival, I mean, the goals of bringing important, insightful, authentic African-American narratives through documentaries to the audience or to the general public is so important. It's completely aligned with the goals that I've always had.
Yeah.
As a filmmaker. So I'm beyond humbled. Big thanks to Dr. Eric Winston and his team for this recognition. And yeah, I'm just very, very honored.
Well, Gerald, I know and I've known about you from day one when you first got started. Yeah. But tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself, who you are, how you got started, and what areas you like to focus and concentrate on.
Yeah, so I'm an Indianapolis native, born and raised. Was raised by someone a lot of people in the community know, Jerry Harkness, who was a renowned athlete and sports broadcaster. And
yes.
Very involved with the community. And then my mother, Judy Harkness. Both of those two were just huge influences on me growing up, and especially when it came to movies. You know, my father was big on the blockbusters. We saw all the Star Wars movies together.
Oh, really?
Movies. Oh, we're huge movie fans. My mother's very much the same way, but she was a little bit more highbrow interested and would take me to the Academy Award winning type of movies like The Verdict and Chariots of Fire and Kramer versus Kramer and stuff like that. So I was embedded in movies at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that interest to Indiana University, graduated in 1991, and that was a period where there was a really big black renaissance of filmmaking and music and just a really exciting time with what Spike was doing and John Singleton was doing. I decided to take the documentary route. I thought it was easier to launch a career to produce and direct with that arena. I've always wanted to tell more authentic, more real stories. Scripted projects can tend to be one-dimensional or stereotypical or caricatures of the black mm-hmm. experience. And so, at any rate, it's been, like you said, day one. I've been doing this going on 30 years, Tina. Can you believe it? And just been really, really fortunate and blessed. Worked with a lot of different networks from ESPN, VH1, A&E Biography, Paramount TV, All Black, PBS. And really, really fortunate to be able to tell stories that interest me and hopefully interest others.
So, Jerry, can you share with our listeners some of the works that you're more proud of?
I actually thought you might ask that. You know, what is your favorite or something you're more proud of?
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all such unique experiences, Tina. They're all such rich and rewarding experiences. From my first documentary, Step In, which that's the one you might have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
My second documentary, Facing the Facade, which was re-released after the George Floyd murder down at IU to help bridge the dialogue between African-American students and the general public. A lot of people know me for Game of Change documentary that featured my father's team, the Loyola team of 1963, playing against Mississippi State, which was an all-white team, forbidden to play against my father's team, and they had to sneak out of the state to play my dad's team in the 1963 NCAA tournament. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Glories of Our Journey. That's the documentary that's going to be featured at the Indianapolis Black Documentary Film Festival on August 26th at the Indianapolis Arts Center. Because most of my work actually comes out of the state. You know, I usually don't film too much here, but this one was really special in that it talks about an African-American neighborhood on the east side of town, kind of like in the 16th and Andrew J. Brown area. And it was just a wonderful, beautiful, thriving community that had to face a lot of disruption through things like school desegregation and the expansion of the highway. So for me, it was really great to come back and work on a narrative like that being an Indianapolis native, and I'm excited for people to see it.
I was getting ready to talk about your dad, Jerry Harkness, and you know, to carry a name, especially like that, here in the state of Indiana, where basketball is just about king, and a name as large and just such a tremendous citizen, you know, a legendary trailblazer in so many ways in broadcasting, in the sport of basketball, and things of that nature. Did you ever feel any kind of pressure to follow in your father's footsteps in the world of athletics?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How'd that go?
Well, it went pretty well, I thought.
Okay.
I do remember feeling pressure the first time I played for dad as a coach, fifth grade at St. Luke.
Oh, my goodness. You played for your dad. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He coached me a lot. So was there pressure? Absolutely. Were there expectations from others for me to be an athlete? Probably so. But I kind of knew by my freshman year in high school, I was pretty good, but I wasn't an elite athlete like my father.
Mm-hmm.
My sister, actually, consequently, is an elite athlete and went on to have a great career dancing on Broadway. So I think she got the athletic genes. But a credit to my parents, they just let me be me.
Yeah.
And like I said, Tina, I never forget my dad took me to see Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and it was love at first sight. I was like, I want to tell stories like the movie I just saw. I was just so blown away by the Steven Spielberg classic. So, you know, there was pressure, and of course you want to do well and you want to perform well, but my parents also had the wherewithal to allow me to develop and be me, and I had a great support group of family and friends. And so it wasn't like this big, oh man, I've let everybody down. It was more like, hey, you have a talent at this storytelling, and we want to support you in every way.
Do you have children?
I do. Two daughters.
Yeah. Two daughters. And so how are you encouraging them to go their own path? Because they're right here, and you say you've never left Indiana, so they know of the Harkness name, the Harkness legend.
They do. Yeah, they do. So my oldest got talents from my wife, and she used to be an animated illustrator.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, a documentary I've got coming out in a couple of months, she did the illustrations for it.
Oh, wonderful.
And so she's definitely got the creative bug and consumes movies just like me, and before my father passed away, it was me, my oldest daughter, Kara, and my father would go see movies regularly, and dad's wife, Sarah. I should acknowledge her as well, because she's been tremendously supportive of me as well. But yeah, movies were a mainstay, and now my youngest, I just moved to Indiana University, both of our alma maters, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yesterday,
and so that's why I'm sounding a little bit tired and fatigued, and my voice is kind of gone, because I'm not young like I used to be.
Oh, come on. You sound great.
Two hours or 3 hours was no joke. But, you know, again, talking about finding your own path. She wants to be a dentist, but she also has an interest in psychology. So she's the one who doesn't have the creative bug, which means she'll be the one making all the money. So, that's a good thing.
Yeah, there's always a practical one in the group, right?
Yeah, you got to have the practical. She's starting 2 weeks early. She got into this scholarship program.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic. And not only is she getting a class credit, she gets to know the campus before the general population comes in.
So, oh, that's great.
Yeah. So couldn't be more proud of both of them. And yeah, I had good experience trying to set them on their own path. So I was, you know, very, very fortunate.
Yeah. Well, Gerald, you and I are going to have another conversation later this month. Yeah, we're going to be talking, and I can't wait. It's going to be after your screening.
You know, those are always excruciating, because there's nothing more vulnerable than sitting with a crowd of people in a dark room watching something that you put together.
Mm.
But, you know, it's work that I'm very proud of. And as you know, Black stories, man, it's a challenge to get them out there. Mm. And even though the demand and interest for documentary has risen, even though the demand and interest for Black content has risen, there's still a finite amount of deals that go out. There's still a finite amount of space that's available to Black filmmakers. And I know I'm singing the praises of the IBDFF, but that's why that's just so crucial to the Indianapolis community and to these Black filmmakers. I would venture to say, Tina, 95 to 90% of the Black filmmakers here in the city can't find distribution, nor can they find exposure. So when you have an event like the upcoming Black Documentary Film Festival, it's just so crucial to these Black filmmakers to at least get that exposure, to get their name out there. I know that it's a nationwide festival, but I really hope your listeners support the event. But I also hope that, you know, keep these Black filmmakers in mind, because it's a struggle. It's a uphill battle to just get a project off the ground.
I can't imagine. We hear about that quite a bit, but we are so very very proud and so very happy for you to not only take center stage with honors this year, but, you know, to have a screening. But before I let you go, you've done such a variety of work and excellent work, by the way. Is there anything that you haven't approached that you're like, boy, I would really love to do that, or that's on my bucket list? I want to get this one in the can before I stop doing all of this and go and retire in Florida or something. What's on your bucket list for that?
I think I'm finally ready to segue into scripted.
Oh.
But keep in mind that you have to have the right business model and the right opportunities. There's a lot of things on the back end that have to line up for that type of venture to work. And I tell all the up-and-coming filmmakers, it's not about what you can make, it's about what you can sell. So I think with contacts I've made over the years, the reputation I've hopefully built over the years, in 1 or 2 years, I think it's time to venture into the scripted world. But I also have this passion for telling African-American stories that are usually overlooked or just can't get the traction from the industry. And so that's been the joy of my career, to tell the stories that most people would say no to, but I find are incredibly important stories. And so that's what happened with Glories of Our Journey. You know, and I got a shout out to the crew of Katie Taylor and Ron Lovett, Leah McMichael, and then my old companion, a guy named PJ Wilson. A little Hollywood story. PJ and I, the first time we worked together was about 21 years ago in a limousine with Queen Latifah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And PJ made an impression then, and he's made an impression ever since. He's one of a kind and an incredible local talent. And he's got some work coming out that I hope people will get behind. So anyway, I know you wanted to wrap this up. I just really appreciate you for giving me the time. Really looking forward to the discussion. I should say, I want to make sure I get the website right. It's ibdff.com. If any of your listeners are looking for more information about the film festival, please go to the website. And then the screening with Glories of Our Journey that I had the pleasure of talking to you with, that'll be on August 26th at the Indianapolis Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Mark Williams. And then there's also going to be some screenings at the Can-Can Movie Theater. I'm very proud to be on the board of the Can-Can. It's a fantastic art house theater that's new to Indianapolis. It's on the east side, close to where the story of Glories of Our Journey takes place. And so, again, shout out to Eric Winston and his team for putting this together, and really looking forward to it.
All right. Well, stay tuned, because we're certainly going to be hearing a lot more from filmmaker Gerald Harkness, who is about to transition into the scripted genre. So we can hardly wait. Gerald, congratulations again. Look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great. Thanks for everything, Tina.
All righty. And again, that was Gerald Harkness, local filmmaker, documentary maker, and now award-winning documentary maker, who is going to be given special honors later this month on the 26th of August at the Indianapolis Black Documentary Film Festival. I'm excited about that. Gerald is a very thoughtful, very talented young man, and if you've never seen any of his work, please look it up. He's really good. He's very, very good. So, looking forward to that.